Is that Halloween music?
Yes. Do you like it?
No.
It was just the first one that I picked here that Harry had up to make you go boo.
Are you dressed up today?
I'm Najee Harris today.
I love that outfit.
You dressed up as Joe Starkey, the everyday golfer.
Yeah. Maybe Jim Furyk. Could I get away with that? Am I dressed as Jim Furyk today?
Possibly. I can give you that.
All right. There's some interesting costumes around here. I don't know. I didn't even know it was Halloween. I forgot till I came in here. My kid isn't young anymore. I don't think of Halloween as Halloween anymore. It's very depressing.
You know, honestly, I've gotten to the point where I think Halloween is very overrated as well because I can't go around and trick-or-treat anymore. And I don't really understand how I fit in the Halloween landscape anymore. You know, like I used to always dress up as a sports fan, especially when I was older. Trick-or-treating when you get to, like, you know, the 6th and the 7th grade and the 8th grade, and then you hit that peak where you're like, all right, trick-or-treating's over. You know when it's your last ride, when it's Michael Jordan and the last dance, my last trick-or-treating, and you try to go all out.
Yeah.
I was a dominant trick-or-treater, Joe, I gotta tell you. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I probably hit 200 houses a night.
I can imagine. And it was the same for me. In some ways, it was bigger than Christmas limits because you'd plan out the outfit. For me, I think the biggest one I had was an Evel Knievel suit. Remember that? The white suit with the stripes, red and white stripes on it. You'd plan it out for months. And then, yes, that night, especially in a household where they weren't big on us having candy. They didn't like an overabundance of sugary sweets, which is probably why I'm addicted to all of them now. But yeah, I'd go out there and I don't know, maybe 4 bags of candy filled. I'd come home and then go out for more is what I do.
I'd have 2 big garbage bags full of candy, which is a lot. I would plan out my routes like beforehand. Like people planned out their costumes. I planned the route I was going to take to make sure that I optimized my time the best. Make sure, because I knew what cul-de-sac had the big candy bars from the previous year. I did my scouting report. I remember.
Yeah, the scouting, the pregame scouting is gigantic.
I was Mike Tomlin getting ready for Halloween every year. And, man, the amount of uneaten candy that I ended up with in like the middle of December was a lot.
What's the worst candy you can get? I hear a lot of people power ranking the top 5, underrated, things like that. What's flat out the worst? And I'm not talking apples and stuff like that. We all know nobody wanted an apple. What's the worst candy that you can get in the bag, old school or new school? And I think they're largely the same. One thing that hasn't changed in this world, at least not that I can decipher all that much, is candy, now that I think of it. I didn't come in here pre-planning that take. But now that I think about it, peanut M&Ms were big then. They're big now. Butterfingers, Snickers, Milky Way.
And you haven't even gotten to the best ones yet. Kit Kats, Twix.
Yes. We're talking 50 years ago these were big, and they still are.
Regular M&Ms?
One thing that hasn't changed, candy. Maybe a little bit. What are the worst? What are the most disappointing? And I realize that's subjective. Nobody else can tell us which candy we don't like. But I'll tell you, I was mighty disappointed with Three Musketeers when I got that. And then anything along the Starburst line. You know, I didn't come here to shoot layups. I don't want Starburst. I can get Starburst anywhere. Starburst and then those little thin wafer things. What are they called? There's like 40 of them.
I know what you're talking about,
They're like Lifesavers, but they're powdery little candy wafers. Nobody wants those. Even Skittles. I don't want Skittles. That doesn't feel like Halloween. Chocolate feels like Halloween.
King-size candy bars feel like Halloween.
You want to throw in a little Zagnut? Okay. A little Payday? I can live with that. But mostly it's about chocolate candy. It's about nougat. Is that the right word? It's about caramel. It's about some sort of nut. Which doesn't sound right, I know.
No.
But perhaps almonds, perhaps peanuts, whatever it might be. I don't want to open it. Even plain M&Ms was a mild disappointment.
Oh, I love the plain M&Ms.
No, there's nothing to them.
Especially when you get the family size M&Ms. Those are great.
No, I don't believe you. You didn't sit in your house eating plain M&Ms as a kid.
M&Ms are my favorite.
Plain over peanut?
Yes. Plain over peanut M&Ms. Incredible. Don't knock the original. I think the worst, unless you're my grandparents, is Almond Joys.
Those are the best.
Or Rounds. What are they called? Rounds?
Mounds.
Mounds. Yeah, something like that.
Those are two of the best. I went out seeking those. Speaking of scouting reports, I knew that the Reinhardts on Forest Avenue had Almond Joys, and that wasn't all that common. So guess what? I'd either make two trips, one early, one late, or hire people and make candy trades. You ever make a candy trade?
Oh, yeah. I was Omar Khan of making candy trades. I was wheeling and dealing before we even got back to the house.
Me too. I didn't need to see the candy. It was, you go back and get me two Almond Joys from the Reinhardts. You get your pick of anything from my bag. How do you like that deal?
Pretty impressive. Yeah, that's your player to be named later. Your candy to be named later.
That's exactly right. What had you mildly disappointed or very disappointed when you went back and, like we all did, took inventory of the bag? What would really leave you nonplussed?
Almond Joy, Mounds, and basically there was always like one
Lifesavers.
Or two. I like Lifesavers.
What about mint? Nobody wants mint Lifesavers or gum.
That's I don't really want
candy.
Gum either.
Yeah.
I always look for the Twix, the Kit Kats, and the M&M's is like my top three. And if there was a Hershey bar, like a big Hershey bar thrown in there too?
Only with almonds. The plain Hershey bar is under the same umbrella as plain M&M's. I don't want that. They do nothing for me. I don't want just a block of chocolate. Now, I know I said chocolate's the main ingredient here. The straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. But it can't be the only ingredient.
Before every volleyball game that I either played or managed at Baldwin, I ate a pack of M&M's.
Plain?
Plain. Maybe not every single one, but the majority, I ate a pack of M&M's as a part of my routine.
Well, good luck to everybody who's out there tonight. I hope things go well. I hope you get bags full of candy. What's the cutoff date for cutoff age for appropriate trick-or-treating?
I don't know.
I don't need to see a guy with a beard coming to my door tonight.
So if I come to your door tonight asking for candy, you'll shoo me away?
If you did, I would. Because I think of you as you know, younger for some reason.
So what could I pass for? 18, do you think?
Nine.
If I shaved
I think
clean-faced, I would go 18?
I think you could go as a sixth grader, honestly. I really
do.
You're like, who's the guy we were looking at, the baseball writer the other day? Or no, the football guy. That Pomp said, that guy, Tom Pelissero.
Tom Pelissero, yeah.
He could pass for maybe 8 years old. Have you seen that guy?
Well, the specific shot that we were looking at in the live hit that he did made him look very, very young. He could probably pass as 19, 20.
High school. He could pass late high school, for sure. But I think the age, probably 14. Is that too depressing? No, it's older than that. 16. 16. If you can drive, you're... No, that's not true either, because they're going out tonight all dressed up. 18. 18.
18?
Yeah.
So senior in high school.
Yeah.
I think I stopped trick-or-treating either. I think it was my freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
I think that was my last year.
Isn't life depressing in that way when you're around that age? It's just a series of crushing disappointments that remind you you're no longer a kid and the world isn't so magical as you thought.
Yeah. My freshman year at times was rough. I had a big friend group that I thought was my friends, and they weren't really my friends.
Yeah.
That sucked.
That. Yeah.
But now they all talk to me and like me.
Well, you should all go trick-or-treating together tonight.
Maybe so.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
We didn't mention Reese's Cups, which is what a lot of people on the text line are saying.
Well, that's a staple. I was talking about the most disappointing things you could get.
Candy corn is what people said.
Yeah,
yuck.
Of course.
And Necco wafers is what you were referring to.
If you're giving away packets of candy corn, I honestly think you should be arrested. You know that?
Packets of candy corn.
Yeah, or any form of candy corn. I think that's grounds for arrest.
I don't think I've gotten candy corn more than like once a year when I was trick-or-treating. There was not a lot of candy corn.
I will say this, though. There's been a bowl of fresh candy corn in our kitchen this Halloween season, and I've rather enjoyed it. I didn't think I would. I don't know if I've ever had fresh candy corn. It's always stale.
Like, if you go trick-or-treating and there's just a bowl of candy corn, and it's literally just candy corn and no package or anything, what are you supposed to do? Just throw it in your bag?
Call the police. I honestly think people should be arrested for that.
Interesting. Just for getting out a whole thing of candy corn where it's,
for defiling Halloween. We need to move on now, Limits. Do you want to wish everybody a happy Halloween?
Happy Halloween, everyone. If you put out a bowl of Halloween candy and it says take one, don't take 25.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. So we got a lot happening today. We have Chris Hoke at 11. But we have a major story that it feels like isn't being talked about. Or maybe I'm just building a straw man. I don't know about that. Maybe I should have been a straw man for Halloween. Yes, Limits?
Yes.
In any other market in the National Hockey League right now, if you had a team with the same coach that had underachieved two consecutive seasons at least, but for sure two consecutive seasons missing the playoffs, despite having stars on the roster who were mostly healthy, and then you opened a third season and started 3-7-1, and you were on a six-game losing streak with Anaheim and Montreal coming to town, people would be talking. It would be by far the main story point. Even if the Steelers were playing the Ravens on Sunday, the story today would be, are the Penguins going to fire Mike Sullivan? I've been around hockey for a long, long time as a beat writer, and then later covering the Penguins, and now more observing them from afar. And this is just the way it works in pro sports in general, but certainly in the NHL. And it's not bringing up the topic or pointing to Sullivan in any sort of mocking way or, you know, don't let the door leave you on the way out of town kind of way. This guy's been a great coach. He brought championships here. He might be the greatest coach in Penguins history. He's the most accomplished because he has two cups. So it's not about that. It's about, is he still the right coach for this team? And how long do you need to see evidence to the contrary before the answer is clearly no? There's a lot of things going on with the Penguins' demise over these past few years. A lot. Obviously, it's not just the coach, right? It's age creeping in. It's player malfunction in general. It's the work of multiple general managers, including Kyle Dupas, who has now invested, what does he have, $80 million in Ryan Graves, Erik Karlsson, and Tristan Jarry over the next many years? $80 million? That wasn't Ron Hextall. People like to talk about how Dupas is handcuffed, right? Nobody handcuffed him on those deals. Those were done of his own free will. In fact, you might say those three players should be handcuffed for robbing him blind, City Limits. So there's a lot here. But and I'm sure that Mike Sullivan, as he has, would rail against critics pointing out things like his style doesn't work for this roster anymore. His voice has grown old. Players don't do what he wants them to do. His tactics are not sound. Those are all opinions. He would rail against them, and he might be right in some cases in railing against them on some of those fronts. Nobody's going to sit down like a fan or a media member and know more X's and O's than Mike Sullivan. That's not going to happen. But it's also not that complicated. You have a coach whose players don't do what he wants them to do in the simplest of terms. Mike Sullivan wants a team that is hard to play against. The Penguins are easy to play against. Mike Sullivan wants a team that plays responsible hockey, that makes smart puck decisions. The Penguins practice the opposite of that every single night. Mike Sullivan wants a sound defensive team. The Penguins are by far the worst defensive team in hockey right now. Worst goals against average. Odd man breaks left and right. They are a beacon of irresponsibility, and these aren't new issues. So to my way of thinking anyway, I can both respect what Mike Sullivan has done here, acknowledge that he's a very good coach, and still come to the conclusion that in this particular situation, he's not getting the job done and hasn't for a while. And man, if they lose at home to Anaheim and Montreal and are sitting there at 3-9-1 with an 8-game losing streak, I don't know of another market where the coach survives. And yet, I think here, it's almost a given that he will, which is why nobody's talking about it. It's unbelievable to me. This is a five-alarm fire here. This is a disaster. They've lost six in a row. They're 3-7-1. Now, you rebound and win twice in a row. Other teams have turned it around. The Penguins did late last season, although they still didn't make the playoffs, largely because they quit around the Gensel deal. But we could have another conversation, I suppose, if they win both games. But this is when a coach would typically be fired in any market. It's just a fact. And I would have to think that even Mike Sullivan knows that. I wonder if Mike Sullivan, because I can tell you any coach in any NHL market would be feeling extreme heat going into this game tonight. We've underachieved 2 years running. I mean, 1 year in the NHL is a lifetime. It's an endless season. For 2 years in a row, this team did not do what it was supposed to do. Failed to make the playoffs. I mean, this is a franchise that goes out and signs the reigning Norris Trophy 100-point guy. They go out and trade for him because they're the Penguins, owing him tens of millions of dollars, even with the Sharks picking up the deal. So please don't tell me this was somehow by design, their demise. Now, they're still trying to win. There's been a couple moves, the Gensel move notably, that would speak to the opposite of that. But by and large, and in a big way, Kyle Dubas has come here and tried to win. You don't go out and make that deal if you're not trying to win. You don't sign a bunch of old guys to your bottom six, spending somewhat significant money over these past 2 years. I could point to five or six examples of multiple million-dollar players. You don't pay a goalie $30 million if you're not trying to win right now. I mean, please. You don't bring in a free agent like Ryan Graves and pay him, what's his deal, $28 million. They're designed to win now. Tom Werner said it less than a month ago. We're here to win Stanley Cups, period. He didn't add the period. He didn't need to. That's what they're here for. And not only are they not doing that anymore, they're not even making the playoffs anymore. And not only are they not doing that anymore, they're not even competing early in this season. They're the worst team in the NHL this side of the San Jose Sharks. And they've earned every bit of it. They're horrible. Their goals against is 4.27. Nobody's even close. So how are we not talking about, wow, what happens if the Penguins lose tonight? And I suppose it's the Werner backing, the fact that Sully has a couple of years left on his deal after this year, maybe the fact that he's coaching, what's this thing called, the Four Nations tournament coming up, and he's coaching the U.S. team. Does all that contribute to this? What if it reached 12 games? What if it did? What if they're on a 12-game losing streak and at the very bottom of the league? And I'm not saying, by the way, that you might not want to be at the bottom of the league at this point if you're the Penguins, but that's an entirely different conversation. This is about the head coach and whether he is extracting the most out of his team. And I think even Sully, who is very stubborn when it comes to criticism, would admit he hasn't come close to doing that for a long time now. And you can sense it. I don't need to be around the team. I've been around enough of them. When things go bad, they go bad, and there's just an air around the team like, is this the last day for the coach? In any other market, that feeling would be swallowing up the Penguins' locker room right now when people walk in there, when they're watching the morning skate, whatever. And I'm not sure that it is. We're going to talk to Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin, later about what the atmosphere is like around this team. But to me, especially with the Steelers on a bye week, that is by far the biggest story in this town. What to do with Mike Sullivan? What will be done with Mike Sullivan. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. You want to weigh in on Sully and the state of the Penguins. Man, this is the last team in this town that has brought us championships. And he did it. He did that too. He did that most notably. And he'll always go down as a great coach for the Penguins. But sometimes things end, and then even after things end, they keep going more sour after that, and nobody gets the Jerome Bettis send-off. Very few people do, whether it's players, GMs, coaches. Things end, man, and this looks over. I wouldn't count out the idea of the Penguins rebounding. It could happen. But, man, the game tonight and the game Saturday against two middling teams, you lose two more home games, you're on an eight-game losing streak, and you're 3-9-1 and probably at the bottom of the NHL standings. I just don't see how this isn't a major topic. Limits? Thoughts?
I'm in full agreement with you. I think, though, one reason why Sullivan on the hot seat is not is because they publicly praised him and gave him an extension last year. And it's pretty much, I mean, go. It starts this year. Do the Penguins want to eat that money? I don't know. But it seems like they view Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan as kind of tied to the hip. And I don't think they're going to move off one unless they move off the other. And they're not going to move off Dubas at this point because he's, what, in his second year? Sullivan should be on a hot seat. I mean, it's hockey. Other teams shuffle through coaches in and out year after year sometimes.
I think I would argue, well, unless you're committed to a full rebuild, like I was going to use Greg Popovich as an example, unless you're Greg Popovich or someone of that ilk, Bill Belichick back with the Patriots, but he was kind of forced out at the end too, wasn't he? Even him. You know, unless you're in a publicly acknowledged full rebuild like the San Antonio Spurs, I just don't think that those ancient championships should carry you forever. I don't.
No.
I just don't believe that.
They really shouldn't. And
so my point there is anybody other than a Greg Popovich, a hugely accomplished coach in a full rebuild, would be feeling enormous heat and would probably be gone by now in any sport based on these parameters. Multiple consecutive seasons of at least underachievement, maybe radical underachievement, followed up by a horrific start in the third season or whatever it is, three in a row and then four, however you want to phrase it. Any coach in all of sports would be on the firing line today, in danger. And I'm not sensing that Sullivan is.
Well, welcome back to messing with mediocrity. I mean, we saw it with the Steelers for a lot of years, just barely making the playoffs or being right around 500. Maybe this year is the time they change. But the Penguins, I mean, no playoff series win since 2018
Listen, I have and we have been very critical of Mike Tomlin. There's no doubt that we have.
The same hasn't been seen as much with Mike Sullivan, though.
Right, exactly. Comparisons along those lines. I mean, you know, Tomlin has at least he went to the playoffs last year, if we're going to make comparisons here, right? And now his team appears to be on a major rebound.
To win a playoff game.
So maybe if you're Tom Werner, you would then argue, yeah, if we think the coach is good enough, we think we can weather storms like we've seen the past few years and eventually will emerge like apparently, maybe, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are doing. I guess that's the counter argument. And they do think, I think the Penguins want to be the Steelers of the NHL. I do. And I think, aren't they on the record as saying Sullivan to them is like a Belichick type figure?